Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. I want to continue with a thought. I didn't know, it was a series of messages. And then in this series, there was four or five things I wanted to look at. And we ended up introducing the message last Sunday morning, ended up looking at the first thing last Sunday night. And we'll look at a second part in this series this morning. We're talking about in Jeremiah chapter 23, the Word of God said in verse number 9, Jeremiah said, "Mine heart within me is broken." Can I say this without being offensive? We need more broken hearts in this generation. Our country is in trouble. Our children are in trouble. Our schools are in trouble. Let me make a statement that you may or may not understand. Brother Dennis would understand it, traveling the way he does. Our churches are in trouble. So many have gone away from the old Bible. So many have gone away from the old songs. So many have gone away from the old blood, preaching the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. And we need help. Jeremiah knew that Israel needed help. And he wept. His heart was broken. And he said here, let me see if I can read the text. "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake." I don't know if you read the Bible and just try to get a picture of what it would be like to look over at that man standing over there by the organ. He's in a mess. He's burdened. He's broken. He's trembling. Somebody might say, "Well, he's on drugs." No, if you looked at him, you might say, "Well, he's had too much to drink." But his spirit was so burdened and so broken within him that he could not help himself. The Bible said, "I'm like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places," you know, think about this. Think about Hollywood for just a minute. Only time you'll ever hear Jesus is in vain. Say amen. The only time you'll ever hear God is his name taken in vain. The Bible said here, because of swearing, the land mourneth. Then he said, "The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Pray with me, please. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, dear God, for the good song service we've had. Lord, I'm glad these songs cause me to want to worship. They cause me to want to praise you, Lord. Lord, when I think back of where you found me, Lord, the condition I was in, God, when you picked me up out of the muck and out of the mire, God, I just pray this morning, Lord, I'd never get over that. I'd never forget that. I never take that for granted. God, I praise you this morning for our people. Lord, some of our people are very sick, are hurting. Their families are hurting. God, we pray you touch them. Lift them up this morning. Lord, I pray as we preach today, God, that you'd hide us. Lord, hide us, our Father. Don't let the folks see us. Let them see Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray, God, you'd honor us, Lord, with your presence in this meeting. Lord, I pray, Lord, for that one that's outside of Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray today might be the day, Lord, when the Holy Spirit of God would fall in conviction in their soul. Lord, that they'd trust Jesus. I pray, Lord, for that one, Lord, that's cold, that one that's indifferent towards the things of God. Lord, would you warm their heart today? Help us, our Father, in this service, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We began last Sunday talking about the third part in the series, The House of God. We said the pleasant places in the wilderness are dried up. And the first pleasant place we looked at in the series of messages was the pleasant place of our heart. When Jesus came into our heart and into our life, He took a very unholy, a very unpleasant place and made it a pleasant place when He moved in to our life. He moved all that junk out. And He didn't just leave it empty. He come with love and joy and peace and began to dump His attributes into our heart and in our life. He took away our sin and gave us His righteousness. You can't beat a deal like that. Amen. And He made our heart a pleasant place. So the first place we looked at that's in danger of drying up is the pleasant place of the heart. And then we looked at the pleasant place of the home. When the home is in order and Christ is the head of the man and the man is the head of the house. And my friend, things are in order scripturally the way that God laid it out. Then the home is a very pleasant place. Every one of us can go back in our childhood and teenage years and remember homes that we just looked so forward to visiting. We just looked forward to being there because we knew there was going to be love. We knew there was going to be peace. We knew there was going to be kindness. Amen. And I tell you, God wants our homes to be a pleasant place. In this world that we live in this wilderness that we live in, He wants our homes to be a pleasant place. And then last week we began, thirdly, in this series, talking about the house of God. We asked for a show of hands, and I believe just about everybody raised their hand. If you've been saved any length of time, you know what it is to come to the house of God when it's a pleasant place. When it's a place you just can't wait to get there, amen. But if you've been saved any length of time, you know there's times when you just dreaded going. Say amen. And it wasn't a pleasant place. Amen. Maybe it was like the church at Corinth. Maybe there was division. Maybe it was like the church at Laodicea. Maybe it was just lukewarm. Amen. And God was on the outside wanting to come in. Maybe, my friend, it was something going on in your own heart. Amen. Maybe there was some bitterness or some unforgiveness. But I know what it is, and you do too. My friend, when the house of God is a pleasant place, and I also know what it is when it's unpleasant to be around the house of God. It hurts. I said last week that those that suffer the most are the weak. My friend, people that are rooted and grounded in Him. My friend, they're going forward somewhere, some way, somehow for the glory of God. But the weak will get hurt and wounded and fall by the wayside. And so we need to make sure that the house of God is a pleasant place. We began turning your Bibles to Matthew. I believe it's chapter 21. I didn't even make a note. Did all that study and didn't even know where. Don't even know for sure where I'm supposed to turn. But I believe it's Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 is where we're going to be in the scripture today. Talking about this house of prayer. Talking about God's house. Talking about the house of God being a pleasant place. I want to show you just four simple things today in the message, and trust the Lord will use it, and we'll go home and get us some rest and come back tonight, God willing, for the evening service. Amen. Let's look here at this house of prayer, the house of God being a pleasant place. In verse number 12 of Matthew chapter 21, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And He said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." I see something here. I see that man has a responsibility in the house of God. The Word of God said, listen, God didn't make it a den of thieves. Men had made it a den of thieves. They had taken that which God meant for good, which God meant to edify and build people up, and they had turned it into something that was tearing people down. Amen. And my friend, robbing them of the blessing of God. The Bible said here, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. God being my helper, I want to talk about this pleasant place of the house of God, the house of prayer here, and some of the things that made it a pleasant place, some of the ingredients that makes it a pleasant place. First of all, in the message, I see this man called Jesus. He shows up, first of all, in verse number 12. The Bible said, and Jesus went into the temple of God. Let me say this to you this morning. You can try to have church all you want to, but if he don't show up, you ain't going to have church. Amen. I'm telling you, his presence, my friend, was real in the temple, and he came into the temple. And that's, my friend, is when you're on the way to the house of God being a pleasant place, when Jesus knows he doesn't have to stand out there and knock. He's welcome in the house of God. I'm telling you, that makes it pleasant to be around the house of God. This man called Jesus, we notice his presence. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We can take that as elementary. We can take that with a grain of salt. But I'm telling you, it's important. Amen. I tell you what, we need to pray. We need to pray, listen, that God just get on the choir and get in the choir. God get on us and get in us. And God's always welcome in the house of God. We need his presence. Amen. By the way, listen to me carefully. Most of you that's been around for a while, you've heard statements like this. I like going over there because you can feel his presence. We don't operate by feelings. We operate by faith. But blessed be the name of the Lord. It's good to know he's hanging around. And it's good to be able to feel his presence. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. My friend, listen, when the rapture takes place, listen, I didn't mean to say this, but it's the truth. When the rapture takes place, a whole lot of churches is going to keep on meeting just like they always did. They don't have sense enough to know, amen, that you can't do it, I can't do it. He must do the work that needs to be done in our midst. A pleasant place. Notice the man called Jesus. We notice his presence. We notice his purpose. Listen to me carefully. Here's something, my friend, that we may not be aware of, but you and I get dirty. Hello? You're not going to walk around in this old world long without getting dirty. And I'm telling you, one of the purposes in coming to the house of God that makes it a pleasant place is, Brother Anthony, not for me to come in and say, well, Lord, clean old Anthony up. No, sir. Amen. Anthony's got enough to take care of, but it's, Lord, clean me up. Amen. I'm telling you, when Jesus come in, the first thing he done was started cleaning house. I don't know about you, but my friend, your house and my house in the house of God needs to be cleaned up every once in a while. And God wants to, he has a purpose in mind. When he shows up, he's not just showing up just doing something. Amen. He wants to help us. He wants to wash our feet. He knows our feet get dirty in this world. Amen. He wants to help us to be clean. He throws the tables over. He makes the money changers leave. And John, it said he drove them out of the temple. Amen. By the way, let me just say this to you this morning. If you'll notice the order here, business is fixing to pick up. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. Jesus shows up. Jesus comes into the temple. And Jesus is cleansing the temple. And the best is yet to come. But you know what we want? Listen to me carefully now. This is what the flesh wants. What anybody's flesh wants. We want to get to the third part of this message and skip the second part. We want to skip the cleansing, say amen, and go right into the miracles, amen. We want to skip the cleansing and, my friend, go right on in the work of God. But you and I both need to be cleansed. I'm not just talking about sinners. I'm talking about saints. Amen. The people of God. I see His purpose. Now, I'm just going to combine these next two here. I see this man called Jesus. But the second thing I see the miracles among the people. Listen, when Jesus has His way, there's going to be some miracles happening among the people. Watch what I'm talking about here. The Bible said here, Jesus went into the temple. He cast out all them that sold and bought. He told them the truth. He said, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Look at verse 14. And the blind and the lame. Brother John, I don't know what verse it is in that song. I believe it's the verse in Victory in Jesus. One of them songs you sung this morning talked about us being blind and us being lame. And I thought I'd come unglued, amen, because I knew what was coming in the message. The Word of God said here, now Jesus has come in, Jesus has cleaned up, but watch, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and healed them. Now here's what I believe. I won't be dogmatic about this, but I can almost see that while they were busy selling their doves and selling their sacrifices and exchanging their money and making money, this crowd was in their way. This crowd was not welcome in the house of God. Are you listening to me? The lame and the blind, what could they do, Brother David, to help their purpose along? Put a little more money in their pocket. I believe, my friend, they were just shoved to the side. But after Jesus cleans house, glory to God, they're the center of what's going on. And they're being helped and they're being healed because Jesus is having His way. And that makes the house of God a pleasant place. When the Lord is having His way in the midst. Oh, friend of mine, the miracles among the people. The power of God is being manifested. Now, let me give you something. I'm not real smart. Some of you guys come up here and help me right quick. Come on. Don't everybody move at the same time. Come on, help me right quick. Help me. We're going to use our teenagers in Bible school. Amen. They're going to have their class and they're going to have their time. But when kids are coming, kids don't know where to go. Parents and visitors that are coming, they don't know where to go. Now, Chance, you just close your eyes. You're the blind man in the temple. Now, listen to me. You need help, right? The Bible said they came to Him. What are you trying to picture, preacher? I'm trying to picture that you and I have a responsibility in helping others. We can't save anybody. But I tell you what we can do, blessed be the name of the Lord. We can point them to the one who can. Amen. So Chance is blind. And here comes Luis. And Luis is going to get him. And Luis is going to help him. You see what I mean? He's blind. He's going to help him. You guys are going to help these kids that come in here to find their class, to find their teacher. You say, preacher, that's a little thing. I'm telling you, my friend, it's the little things that'll help the big things to get done in the house of God. Somebody, listen. Now, here, tell me your name again, Brother Alex, right?
Isaiah.
Where's Alex? He's over there. I'm messed up. Amen. Watch this. Watch this, Isaiah. You're lame. Just pull one leg up there. Here you go. He's lame. Well, I know he's lame on both feet. He's lame on both feet. How can you be lame on both feet? There you go. So what are we going to have to do, Luis? Come on. Come on, Luis. Help me, buddy. See, he's lame. Come on, Chance. Help me. Help us, buddy. What? Am I right or am I wrong? He's lame. You say, preacher, I don't understand what this is a picture of. Thank you guys for helping me with the illustration, all of you. I'll tell you what it's a picture of. You and I, before we met Jesus, were blind. You and I, before we met Jesus, were lame. And everybody, my friend, listen, needed somebody. Listen, no one else could save us but Jesus. But I thank God I can point you to people in my life. Hallelujah, when I was blind, that come alongside and said, listen, Rick, let me tell you about a Savior. He's the one that can make the difference in your life. When I could not get to Him, I'm glad, thank God, He came to where I was and others were trying to get me to where He was. Lame. Lame. Blind. Miracles among the people. I've said this, and it's the truth. It's the truth this morning. If someone come in here this morning and, Brother Bob, I'd use you. I'd use you because of what's going on in your life, Brother Bob, with your heart and with your liver. I tell you, Brother Bob, if I had the power, you wouldn't even have to go to the doctor Tuesday except to get confirmed that the work had already been done. In other words, Brother Bob's having trouble with his heart. And if I had the power, and listen, it got back in here that his heart, had, because the preacher did this or because the church did this, that he's healed. I'm telling you, that'd get all over the place and everybody'd say, well, God did a miracle, and he will do a miracle. When it's his will, he's still God and he can do whatever he wants to do. But let me say this. Somebody gets saved, and that don't get talked about much. Can I tell you which is the greater of the two miracles? A lame man healed, or a blind man that can see, or a man that's lost in sin getting saved? I'll tell you, that is the greatest of all miracles. When Jesus Christ saved you and saved me, that is the greatest miracle that we could ever experience in this world. There's a man called Jesus. There's miracles among the people. I remember a story. I'll tell this quickly and move on in the message. I remember a story about a man that was kindly poor in his appearance. He came into the church a little bit late. He came on Bible Way time and they started on preacher time. Y'all get that after a while, amen. But anyway, he looked to his right and he looked to his left and he kept coming down to the front. He looked to his right and he looked to his left. And he kept looking to his right and looking to his left and he couldn't find a place to sit down anywhere. And the preacher was up there preaching and he just came up and sat down. I'm not going to do it because I'll bust my britches trying it. Say amen. But he came up and he just sat down Indian style right in front of the preacher. And all them highfalutins was concerned about that. Upset about that he would come into their midst and walk down there and sit down like that. About that time, one of the deacons got up. Old sister so-and-so said, he'll straighten this out. You know what that deacon done? He walked up there and sat down alongside of him. I say, glory, 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 glory. That's the people that ought to be welcome in the house of God. Amen. Here's the lame. There's somebody now, my friend, that can help them because, my friend, that mess is out of the way. Amen. They can be helped of Jesus. There's miracles among the people. There's a man called Jesus. I'm about half done, so pray. Let me give you the third thing quickly. I want you to notice the mouth of the pernicious. Now listen to me. Listen to me closely. Just because a problem arises in the house of God does not mean that it has to cease to be a pleasant place. By the way, if Jesus is having his way and people are getting help, we ought to just expect the enemy to raise his old ugly head up. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going. Look at it with me in the story here. Look at it with me. The Bible said here, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw, watch this now, the wonderful things that he did. They saw, Brother Larry, the wonderful things that the Son of God was doing in the temple. They saw it. Now watch what the Bible said. And the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were, somebody tell me those next two words, sore displeased. I don't know who said this originally, but I know Brother Jack used to say it a lot. Somebody say, well, that rubs my fur the wrong way.
He said the solution to that is turn the cat around. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the man of God's going to keep doing. He's going to keep rubbing the same way he's always rubbed. Because he's preaching a Bible that's not going to change for him, not going to change for you, not going to change for this generation, not going to change for the president. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. He's going to keep rubbing the same way. The only way they're going to get rid of the friction is turn the cat around. Several years ago, this might be a crude illustration, but way out yonder, I think it was almost 400 yards, there's a big old deer standing in the field. And I had a rifle that could reach it. I laid down, got me a rest, and I squeezed that trigger. And that big old deer hit the ground. And I went out there, and I grabbed a hold of that deer. It was a doe. It was a big doe. Huge doe. And it was so muddy that I couldn't get my truck back in the field. I knew I'd mess the man's field up. You don't want to do that. And I knew I was liable to get stuck, and I didn't want to do that. So I was out there, and I grabbed that deer. I was a little bit unprepared. I usually carry a little sling or something. I'll tie its front legs up around its head and drag it. And I was a little bit unprepared, so I just grabbed that deer by the back legs, and I started walking. And I'm telling you, I didn't get very far. I was plumb out of breath. I called my boy and I said, son, tell Brian we need that gator. He said, Dad, what's going on? I said, this deer is big, it's heavy, and I don't want to finish getting it out. He said, how was you dragging that deer? I said, I was dragging it by its hind feet. He said, Dad, you was dragging it against the fur. He said, there ain't no wonder you was having such a hard time dragging it. He said, you should have been pulling it by its head. I come up with something real quick. I said, son, if I'd have done that, I'd have been getting further away from the truck. You like that, don't you? Amen. Amen. The gator made the whole process a lot easier. You know what make the whole process a lot easier in the house of God? Turn the cat around. Don't get mad at the Bible. Don't get mad at the Savior. Don't get mad at the preacher. Amen. 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 Get mad at this stinking flesh that we live in. That's the problem. Turn the cat around. The mouth of the pernicious. Listen to 2 Peter. Listen to 2 Peter. The word pernicious means a harmful effect. Listen to this now. Especially in a gradual or a subtle way. The enemy doesn't just march into the house of God and stand up and say, I'm the enemy. I'm the enemy of the saints. I'm the enemy of the Savior. I'm the enemy of the Bible. I'm the enemy of old time religion. I'm the enemy of the old red back songbook. He don't do that. He comes in gradually, slowly, subtly, just like the devil did in the garden. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. The Bible said there were false prophets among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I'm telling you, my friend, there's the mouth. You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify? It was in their heart, but it didn't take but just a few minutes. It started running out of their mouth. They couldn't help it. They were the enemies of the cross. Let me say this. I'll just fire a warning shot over the bow. I'll tell this little story. I'm not going to tell the details because I don't remember well. But there was a time when somebody crept in and was causing division in the church. Or trying to. Some of you all will remember it. I guarantee you'll remember it. I've heard the story. And Brother Jack walked back and said, right there's who I'm talking about. Not you, Brother Rossi, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. He said, preacher, I don't understand why a preacher would do something like that. Let me just tell you why he would. Because he loves his people. Because he wants the house of God to remain a pleasant place. He said, preacher, he ain't got no Bible to do something like that. I'm going to tell you something right now. Yes, he does. The Word of God, Brother Lance, said open rebuke is better than secret love. If there's somebody, my friend, trying to undermine and tear down this church and tear down these families, you best just point that little bony finger where it needs to be pointed and say, right there's the man, right there's the problem, and cut it out like a cancer and get rid of it. You say, preacher, I don't know where that comes from in a message on the house of God being a pleasant place. Think about it. Jesus had to get rid of them so he could do the work that needed to be done. Amen. I don't know of 1 ounce of that going on around here. You say, well, why did you preach that? Just in case I hear of an ounce. You'll know what to expect. Say amen. House of God, a pleasant place. Last thing, there's a man called Jesus. There's miracles among the people. There's the mouth of the pernicious. You would think everyone would be glad that Jesus showed up, that Jesus cleaned house, and that everybody would be glad that the lame are walking and the blind are seeing. You would think everybody would be glad about that. But you let an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival break out in a church, I'll promise you, everybody won't be glad about it. You let God start having his way, I'll tell you, everybody won't be glad about it. The last thing in the message, it's last, but it's definitely not least. I want you to see this manifestation of praise. There's a man called Jesus. There's miracles among the people. There's the mouth of the pernicious. They said unto him, what was in their heart was now running out of their mouth. But this last thing is important. There's a manifestation of praise. When they saw the wonderful things that he did, the chief priests in verse number 15, and the children crying in the temple, Hosanna. I looked that up. There's two things we need to say about the phrase Hosanna. What it means is, oh, save. Brother Rose, if I can get this picture, every time Jesus healed a lame man, every time he healed a blind man, and listen, I believe many other things did Jesus which are not recorded in the Word of God. I believe God gave us enough air to know that there was a meeting going on. I believe there were more things than that happening. Maybe there was families being healed up, relationships being healed up. I don't know what all was going on, but I know this, it was all for His glory. The children are running around and saying, oh, save, oh, save, Hosanna, oh, save, oh, save. It was a statement of adoration. They loved what Jesus was doing. Now, if I was running around hollering, oh, save, oh, save, oh, save, oh, save. Let me give you an East Tennessee vernacular of that. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Lord, just do it again. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Hosanna! There's a manifestation of praise, and they don't like it. By the way, let me just say this. Everybody doesn't conduct themselves the same way when it comes to worship, when it comes to praise. Some may never shed a tear. Some may not can help it. They cry like a baby. Some may be loud in their testimony or in their praise, and others may be quiet or not speak a word at all. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to remind you of something. Our Lord's not looking right here. He's looking right here. And if we're worshiping Him, amen, and honoring Him and adoring Him and magnifying Him, I'll tell you, He knows about it, amen. And these children, my friend, they're magnifying the Lord. They're manifesting this praise to the Lord. Watch this. And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Let me say something. This is just my idea about this. These people that were in the temple knew the Word of God. And when Jesus, Brother Grizzle, told them that verse of Scripture, I believe they knew it immediately. But they didn't know how to apply the Word of God. They knew the Word of God, but they did not know the God of the Word. You can go off to a seminary and learn the Word of God, but you can't go off to a seminary and learn the God of the Word. And there ain't many seminaries left where you're even going to learn the Word of God. Most of them liberal. Wouldn't know a King James Bible if it hit them square between the eyes. But Jesus, when He gives them that verse of Scripture, it shuts them up. Oh yeah, that is in there. I believe with all of my heart. Over there, let me read it to you and I'm done. Turn to Luke chapter 19. This is the passage of Scripture that come to my heart this morning when we're talking about a manifestation of praise. In Luke chapter number 19. Listen to what the Word of God said in verse 36 down through about verse 40. Listen to what the Bible said here. And as He went, they spread their clothes in the way. Can't you imagine somebody standing off to the side saying, have they lost their mind? Jesus is upon that cold and they're spreading their clothes out and the palm branches out in front of Him. Watch this now. They spread their clothes in the way. Then we get down to verse 37. And when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that He had done. I'm telling you, my friend, they were happy in Jesus. They were praising Him. Now watch. The Bible said in verse number 38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Here they come again. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Wouldn't it have been better for them to have kept their mouths shut and let everybody think they was a fool standing over there than to open their mouth and remove all doubt? Master, rebuke thy disciples. Now I want you to listen to what Jesus said, and I'm done. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You can say whatever you want to, but it's all right to praise Jesus. By the way, I believe when the house of God's a pleasant place, it ought to be a practicing place for the big house. The big house is not the prison, brother. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. We're headed to the big house. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Go over to the book of Revelation. Read about the thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 that are magnifying the Lord with a loud voice and blessing His name, honoring His name. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. I'm going to tell you something right now. I see when the house of God is a pleasant place, there's a man called Jesus in the midst. There's miracles among the people. Somebody be running their mouth, the pernicious. They're not going to like it. But there's going to be a manifestation of praise. I don't know about you, but those four reasons alone makes me want to try to keep things in order. Keep the house of God a place where the God of the house can work. in our midst. Amen. This morning, if you're unsaved, Brother John, get us an invitation song, would you please, brother? Just as I am will be fine. If you're unsaved, if you're cold and indifferent, God wants to help you. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you know you're a child of God, but you know that there's some cleansing that needs to be done. God wants to help you. God wants to help you. He don't want to hurt you. He never has. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Oh, that the house of God would be a pleasant place in the wilderness. The pleasant places are drying up. You can go to church in a lot of places in America and they won't even open a Bible. Well, I say that quote unquote going to church. If you're going to church and you don't have a Bible, there's a problem. Amen. The Bible's the final authority. Not the Pope, not the priest, and not the preacher. But the Word of God is the final authority. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to hearts. Lord, I know that in that temple, there was some people there that day that was very, very glad that you showed up. Those lame men, those blind men. God, help us to do what we can do to point people to Jesus. Father, I pray today for that one that does not have victory, that one that's not in Jesus, that one that cannot say he's my Savior, that one that cannot say forever. I pray, God, before they leave here, they'd be able to say that in Jesus' name.